Well, welcome to our Bible study this morning. I'm calling the study for our adult Sunday school, Looking into Luke. And that implies that we can't do very much. It's 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke, and we're doing four short studies. So we're just looking into Luke. We're just having a bit of a look. And I'm really thinking about calling this Looking into Luke Part 1, because then I could at some point down the track do a bit more under these four headings. So I'd like to begin with a prayer, and the prayer comes from the little liturgy that we use for the Annunciation of our Lord. And this is the prayer. We rejoice in you, God our Savior, because you have looked on the lowliness of your servants and have freely given us your salvation. Always remember your gracious promises to us and hear the prayer we bring to you in the name of Jesus, both the Son of Mary and your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you look at the piece of paper I've given you, looking into Luke, you can see that I've got four sessions outlined here. So beginning with today, session one, why study Luke? About Luke, the story begins, that's today. The second session next week will be on Jesus' ministry in Galilee. The third session is about chapters 9 to 18, which I'm calling the big walkabout. It's called the travel narrative from chapters 9 to 18, which is a very distinct part of the Gospel of Luke. Most of the material there does not occur in any of the other Gospels. And then the last part is on the suffering and death of Jesus and his resurrection in session four. So that's our plan. That's how we'll go about it. So we'll go straight into session one. Why study Luke? What's a good reason for studying the Gospel of Luke? Very good answer. He's a very good storyteller. I think among the gospel writers, he is by far the best storyteller. He was a physician, Luke the physician. And actually, some scholars look for the medical imagery and his understanding of illness. He certainly shows Jesus as the great physician. That's a very strong theme. Why else should we study Luke? It's about Jesus. Yes. So he really begins at the beginning of the story. If you look at Mark's gospel, Mark begins just with the baptism of Jesus. So Luke is the one that takes us right back to the beginning, and he has these infancy narratives of John the Baptist and of Jesus. He did. He has more to say about women than most of the other gospel writers, or than all of them. And also he was a historian. We're going to come back to that. Luke himself gives a reason for his writing. Another reason for studying Luke, of course, is that Luke comes up every third year. This is the year of Matthew. Next year is the year of Mark. And the year after that is the year of Luke. So we go in this three-year cycle in the church. And last year, actually, was the year of Luke. So that's another good reason, because it matches what we hear in church. Also, when you get into the Gospel of Luke, you can see that it is really, in many ways, a gospel for our time. Luke has got a very big interest in people who are doing it tough for one reason or another. Luke has got a very strong interest in people who are not yet in God's kingdom, people who are on the outside, people who are on the margins. He's also very interested in what salvation means, not just in the future, but what it means right now. Not just that we're going to heaven at the end, but what does our Christian faith mean for us today? He's very interested in the topic of discipleship. And another good reason for studying Luke is that, I think some of you already indicated this, it's the godly discipline of studying the scriptures. It's good for us to just sit with the word, not just to go for a text here and there, but just to sit with one gospel and think about it and look at it and read it and study it. Okay, so now we move to point B about Luke. I think it might be a good idea right now to look at Luke chapter 1. Verses 1 to 4. Because here, Luke himself tells us why he wrote his gospel and what it is all for. So I think you've got different translations, and I'll read, because it has to go into this thing anyway, so I'll read and you just can follow it. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who were from the beginning eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Now, in Greek, this is one long sentence, and it's very elegant Greek, and it is a dedication. Yes, he was an associate of Paul. We know this, but he wasn't one of the apostles. So, as you can see, he's not writing firsthand as an eyewitness. He says, well, other people have undertaken to do this task that I'm doing, and it seemed good to me also to do this. So this brings us into the question about, well, first of all, he's decided that he's going to write down this story, this gospel, and other people have been doing this before him. And he says, well, I'm going to set the record straight. I'm going to write for you, O excellent Theophilus, an orderly account. So who is Theophilus? Is he a real person? How do you know? Well, it's probably that he could have been a person of equestrian rank, excellent Theophilus. However, the word means, Theophilus means friend of God. So maybe he was a real person, probably he was a real person, but also Luke is writing for anyone who wants to be a friend of God. For those who already are friends of God in Christ Jesus, and for those who also would like to become friends of God, like Theophilus. So very interesting. So why is he writing it? He says there that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. The Greek word there is asphaleia, that you may have assurance, that you may have the truth about these things about which you've already been instructed. Okay, so Luke is decided to write a gospel book, and he is already like in the second generation. He's not writing as an apostle, as an eyewitness in that sense. And what is a gospel? Good news. And this is very strong for Luke. He says, right at the beginning, the angel says to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. So a gospel is a book of good news, of course, about Jesus. So this was a new kind of literature. There had been other kinds of books, histories and biographies and stuff. The Gospels are not, strictly speaking, biographies. They tell us a lot about Jesus, but they don't really read like a biography. And you really cannot actually detail it, you know, day by day or year by year what happens in the life of Jesus by reading the Gospels. They only tell us the good news. They tell us some things about Jesus. So it's a story of good news, and it's the good news about Jesus Christ. Why were the Gospels written down? Because first of all, they weren't. Luke tells us himself, you know, other people are doing this, I'm doing it too, but right at the start, they didn't write anything down. Why? It wasn't so much that they mistrusted it, but that it wasn't considered necessary, because they had the eyewitnesses, the apostles, and then everything was oral tradition. People didn't have books, people didn't read books. They learned things off by heart, just like Jesus teaching his own disciples. Jesus didn't write things down. We know he wrote on the ground at once, so we know he could read or write, John chapter 8. Jesus didn't write books. Jesus taught people. He taught his own disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father. He taught them. It was oral tradition. You teach the people, they learn it off by heart, and then they repeat it. And so there were words about Jesus, stories about words Jesus said, stories about things that Jesus had done. They did not begin to start writing this down until when? When the apostles started to die off, and they said, and then there was some controversy about what he really said. And this is what Luke says, I'm going to write you an orderly account of these things so that you may have assurance, truth about what actually happened. So, first of all, it was in their own language, which is Aramaic. And then when they went out into the Gentile world, then they started to teach in Greek. And so then they started to write the story down. So what we have in the Gospel of Luke, he says, well, I've done my homework on this, and I'm going to write an orderly account. So in writing his orderly account, did he use sources? Answer? Yes. So what were his sources? Yes. And in particular, he used one of the Gospels that was already written, namely Mark. Nearly everything that Mark wrote appears then also in Matthew or Luke. If we're looking at the Gospel of Luke, you will find a lot of Mark in there, which is the scholars just call M. And then there's a lot of other material, sayings that Jesus, words of Jesus, sayings of Jesus. In German, that's called Quelle. Quelle means source. There's a sayings source. So there was, in this oral tradition, there were whole heaps of collections of words Jesus said, parables Jesus, like we heard this morning in church. So these are the saying source. Mark, if you read Mark's Gospels, look at heaps of action, things that Jesus did. In Mark's Gospel, you don't get quite so much teaching. So you've got Mark, you've got this saying source, and then the other source is called L. And L means Luke. But it's not just, it actually means special Luke. There's a whole heap of stuff in Luke that doesn't appear in Mark or doesn't appear in Matthew. It's only in the Gospel of Luke. And a lot of that appears in that long section in the middle between chapters 9 and 18, amongst which there are many of our favorite stories. What's your favorite Bible story? Do you have a favorite Bible story from the New Testament? There you go. Where does that come from? Luke. What's another favorite Bible story? That's in John. What's another one? Who likes the Christmas story? Any other favorite stories? That's also in Luke. What else is your favorite Bible story? That's also in Luke. And not in anyone else. Which story do children like? Our children, one of their favorite stories was Good Samaritan. Over in the Holy Land, so many years ago, we had to read this story over and over again. Nearly a whole heap of our very favorite Bible stories only appear in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read something. How many Lutheran churches are called St. Paul's and how many are called St. Luke's? Not many at all. Not many. As Lutherans, we focus a lot on Paul. So that's indicative. Being Lutheran, we are really strong on Paul, but have we done justice to Luke, either in our theology or our preaching? Luke is responsible for 25% of the New Testament, a quarter, because you've got this long gospel, and the other book he wrote was the Acts of the Apostles. So that's a quarter of the New Testament. One way to appreciate the impact that Luke's gospel has had on Christianity is to try and envision what things would be like without it. Can we imagine Christmas without shepherds or a baby in the manger? Can we imagine liturgy without the Magnificat, the Gloria, the Benedictus, or the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace? Can we imagine a church year without some of the festivals? Now, there's some festivals we don't celebrate much, but they're in the calendar of the church. There's four or five that are based only on things in Luke. First of all, the Annunciation, which is on the 25th of March, which is exactly 9 months before Christmas. So there's a beautiful church in Nazareth called the Church of the Annunciation. I saw a tourist brochure with that misspelled. It was called Come to Nazareth and see the Church of the Annunciation. That's because the angel Gabriel spoke so clearly in enunciating the words. This is where we're going to look at that story today, if I hurry up. Another Luke festival is the presentation of our Lord in the temple on the second day of February, and that is called Candlemas. And that's not a big thing for us in this part of the world. Certainly is in Europe. Candlemas is a big one. Here's another. These are liturgies that we use at the seminary. Visitation of Mary, the mother of the Lord. So that is on the 31st of May. Today is the festival of the Visitation of Mary. After Mary had conceived and the child Jesus was in her womb, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Today we hear that gospel story and we focus especially on the Magnificat. So that's on the 31st of May. Okay, that's three. Now there's one other I can think of that we wouldn't be celebrating if it wasn't in Luke's gospel, namely Himmelfahrt in German. The Ascension. Jesus going up in German they call it the heavenly journey, Himmelfahrt. So that's another one. So Luke is a really good gospel for us to get into, and that's what we should do right now, is get into it.